Well, thank you. Just a few words to say that this I consider it a book. It's really short, as you may see. I consider it a book, and actually I consider it my first book. I first published it in the year 2000. When I published it, it was a self-publication. I self-published it. I had written it before. I wrote it when I was 21, between 21 and 22. I got to the conclusion that it was a book and not just a short story or a text to be put along other texts that I might write, because of how different it was from everything that I had written before and how different everything that I wrote afterwards was. In a way, I feel that everything that I wrote after, the novels, Blank Gaze, The Piano Cemetery, this one called Book, they all have roots within this text, which is a prose text, but which has a lot to do with poetry. I'll read the first two paragraphs. Regressei hoje a esta terra agora cruel, a nossa terra, pai, e tudo como se continuasse. Diante de mim, as ruas varridas, o sol enegrecido de luz a limpar as casas, a branquear a cal, e o tempo entristecido, o tempo parado, o tempo entristecido e muito mais triste do que quando os teus olhos, claros de névoa e marzia distante, fresca, engoliam esta luz agora cruel, quando os teus lábios falavam alto e o mundo não queria ser mais que existir. E, no entanto, tudo como se continuasse, o silêncio fluvial, a vida cruel por ser vida, como no hospital, dizia, nunca esquecerei, e hoje lembro-me, rostos tornados desconhecidos, desfigurados na minha certeza de perder-te, no meu desespero, desespero, como no hospital, não acredito que possas ter esquecido. Enquanto esperava pela minha mãe e pela minha irmã, as pessoas passavam por mim, como se a dor que me enchia não fosse oceânica e não as abarcasse também. As mulheres falavam, os homens fumavam cigarros. Como eu, esperavam. Não a morte, que nós, seres incautos, fechamos-lhe sempre os olhos na esperança pálida de que se não a virmos, ela não nos verá. Esperavam. Num carro demasiado rápido, a minha mãe, curvada de perder o que possuía, e a minha irmã. Os homens e as mulheres falavam e fumavam ainda quando subimos. No quarto, numa cama qualquer que não a tua, o teu corpo, pai. Talvez distante, preso num olhar entreaberto e amarelado, respiravas ofegante. O ar com que lutavas, lutavas sempre, gritava ao seu caminho rouco. Pelo nariz, entrava o tubo que te sustinha. Aos pés da cama, a minha mãe calada, viúva de tudo. À cabeceira, a minha irmã, eu. Cortinas de plástico, biombos de banheira, separavam-nos das outras camas. Posei-te as mãos nos ombros fracos. Toda a força te esmorecera nos braços, na pele, ainda pele viva. E menti-te. Disse aquilo em que não acreditava. Ao olhar amarelo, o afegante disse que tudo serias e seríamos de novo. E menti-te. Disse, vamos voltar para casa, pai. Vamos que eu guio a carrinha, pai. Só enquanto não puder, pai. Vá, agora está fraco, mas depois, pai, menti-te. E tu, sincero, a dizeres apenas um olhar suplicante, um olhar para eu nunca mais esquecer. Pai, à hora, mandaram-nos sair. Quando saímos, agarrados como náufragos, a luz abundante bebia-nos. E esta tarde, e esta terra agora cruel, na nossa rua, a nossa casa, a porta do quintal parada à minha frente, fechada, desafiante, dizia, nunca esquecerei, e esta tarde lembrei-me, com os teus movimentos, tirei do bolso o teu molho de chaves e, como costumavas, usei todos os cuidados para escolher a chave certa, examinando cada uma, orgulhando-me de cada uma. E na fechadura, o triunfo, as coisas a acontecerem devidamente. A ferrugem, as dobradiças soltaram um grito como um suspiro ou um estertor. O alumínio rente ao mármore, arrastou, varreu, uma figura certa e branca no cobertor grosso de folhas de pessegueiro. Abandonado sobre o tamanho grande de um inverno, o quintal de quando eu era pequeno, o quintal que construíste, pai. Tristes, tristes flores novas e folhas novas nos ramos das árvores. canteiros pintados de malvas, trevos, ervas verdes, verdes de quando eu era pequeno e tu chegavas e me assinavas trabalhos de grande. Orienta-te, rapaz. Eu oriento-me, pai. Não se preocupe. Eu também sei. Eu também consigo. Eu oriento-me, pai. Não se rale. O trabalho não me mete medo. Esteja descansado, pai. Flores novas e folhas novas nos ramos das árvores, canteiros pintados de malvas, trevos, ervas verdes, verdes desta primavera triste, triste.
I'll say a couple words about the translation. I'm going to read more than that. I'm going to read what he wrote, read, but in English, with the rest of the chapter. The book has four chapters, and you'll get the first chapter read out today. Incidentally, the title is Morishtime, which didn't make it onto the final work review incarnation of the text, but actually Morishtime means something roughly equivalent to you died on me, which is it's unusual even in Portuguese, and there's no real way to translate it, so we're happy with you died on me. I came back today to this newly cruel land, our land, Dad, and all as though it were carrying on. Before me, the swept streets, the light blackened sun cleaning houses, whitening the lime, and the saddened time, stop time. Time saddened and sadder than when your eyes, clear with mist and fresh distant swells, swallow this newly cruel light. When your eyes spoke aloud and the world wanted no more than to exist. And still, all as though we were carrying on. The fluvial silence, life cruel for being life. Like in the hospital, I'd said I'd never forget, and today I remember. Faces becoming unknown, disfigured in my certainty that I'd lose you. In my despair, I despair. I can't believe you'd forget. While I waited for my mother and my sister, people passed me by as though the pain that filled me weren't oceanic and didn't hit them too. Women talked, men smoked cigars. Like me, they waited not for death, to which we, unwary beings, always shut our eyes in the dim hope that if we don't see it, it won't see us. They waited. In a car going too fast, my mother twisted from losing what she had possessed, and my sister, the men and women talked and smoked. Even as we went up, in the room, in some bed that wasn't yours, your body, Dad. Maybe far away, trapped in a gaze yellowish in a jar, you breathed, puffy. The air you fought, you always fought, screamed on its hoarse way. Through your nose entered the tube that sustained you. At the foot of the bed, my mother, silenced, widow of everything. At the head of the bed, my sister, me. Plastic curtains, shower screens separated us from the beds. I lay my hands on your weak shoulders, all the faltering strength in your arms, in your skin that still lived. And I lied to you. I said, we're going home, Dad. Let's go. I'll drive the van, Dad. Only because you can't, Dad. Come. You're weak now, but afterwards, Dad, I lied to you. And you, sincere, merely speaking a pleading look, a look so I would never forget. Dad, when it was time, they made us go. And when we went, clinging like castaways, the abundant light drank us up. And this afternoon, and this newly cruel land, on our street, our home, the door to the backyard stopped in front of me, closed, defiant. I said I'd never forget, and this afternoon, I remembered. With your movements, I took from your pockets your keys, your bundles of keys, and the way you used to. I took every care to pick the right key, examining each one, proud of each one. And in the keyhole, the triumph, things duly taking place, the rust, the hinges let out a cry, like a sigh or a ruckle. The aluminum, close to the marble, dragged, swept a sure white figure on the thick blanket of peach tree leaves. Abandoned on the great size of a winter, the backyard from when I was little, the backyard you built, Dad. Sad, sad, new flowers and new leaves on the tree branches, beds painted with hollyhocks, clovers, green grass, green from when I was little and you taught me big people's work. Careful, boy. I am, Dad. Don't worry. I know this, too. I can do it, too. I am careful, Dad. No sweat. Work doesn't scare me. Relax, Dad. new flowers and new leaves on the tree branches, beds painted with hollyhocks, clovers, green grass, green from the sad spring. If I could have, I would have protected you. You called my name, called me son. And to hear my name in your voice, and to hear son on the warm wire of your voice was deeply moving. If I could have, I would have protected you. Hope, Dad. Every 3 weeks for 5 mornings in a row, they saw you head to your treatment. I, your son, saw you head to your treatment, and my life hurt. My life that without you canceled itself hurt. Life wasting you, though you still loved it. Life toppling you, though you still loved it. The treatment. You spoke about it, said the word, said I'm going to my treatment, and we, who knew, filled with an indelible sadness. Permanently marked crease on our inner skin, because you wanted it so, you were never late. You'd say, I am going to the treatment, you rushed me, you rushed my mother, as though something could cure you, as though something could give you your days back. In the hospital, the waiting room was stagnant with useless time, and my mother sitting, alone, far from our home and our spaces, like a shy girl, embarrassed, you going away, like the boy who takes care of life you always wanted me to be, going away, wearing the newest shirt and the newest trousers and the newest pullover my mother had given you on your birthday, going away through the corridors charged with grayness and dull electricity, going away and the terrible feeling you'd never return. I entered our home, just the cold fireplace, the closed windows smolding fine shadows in the dark. From the silence, from the penumbra, a growth of the specters, of memories. No, shapes that refuse to be memories. Or maybe a mix of flesh and light or shadow. And I saw you, though you remembered you. Seated at your spot. Still sitting at your spot. And me, my mother, my sister, sitting too, surrounding you. Identical to what we used to be. There we were long ago, forgotten, abandoned since a day when the passing of things stopped in our joy, simple, simple, like happiness. As though we had eaten dinner, or we waited for dinner, or the greatest banquet, we were happy. Nothing had been said to me, but I, watching, knew everything, as if it were obvious, as though it couldn't be any other way. You certainly had come home from work, and it had been a good day, and you were happy for it. And people weren't cheating you out of your pay, and that was good. My sister went to school, and her grades were only very goods and quite goods, and she smiled for it. I was in my first year of teleschooling, and I didn't think about grades. I'd been playing ball, and I'd won, and if I'd lost, I would have been fine too. My mother, a true mother to us all, watched us and smiled like that, and smiled because of it, happy, far from this black winter's rain, far from your ice-cold body, livid in the tremulous candlelight, all smart, combed with water, dressed in the suit you'd worn at my sister's wedding, your ice-cold body. And St. Peter's Chapel, full of people hugging me, full of people saying, you poor thing, and my condolences, and I'm very sorry, full of people looking for me, and wanting to grab me and seize me and say, you poor thing, and my condolences, and I'm very sorry. Dad, losing you, I relived the unburied silence of your dead lips and our shadows, as if waiting for these thoughts to be lost, blended with the black, the dust of hours, without people living in them, covered the furniture and the closed space between them. The walls again started to separate the nocturnal winter, always in this house, and the alternating cycle of days in the world, alien to us, beyond us. With me, the house was even emptier. The cold came in, and inside me it hardened. My shadows, many shadows, still wandered from my body to another body, because all of them, all of mine, were equally dark and cold. And I opened the window, very far from the morning of my feeling, of my being, real being. The sunset stretching in the brief solemn dawn of our closed house, Dad. And I thought, could men die the way a day dies? That way, with birds singing, without jolts in the liquid vitreous clarity in everything, and the fresh, smooth freshness, the light breeze rocking the little leaves on the trees, the world inert or moving calm, the silence growing natural, the awaited silence finally fair, finally dignified. Dad, the afternoon is dissolving over the earth, over our house. The sky frays out a quiet sigh on faces. The moon lights up, translucent. A warm sleep sleepens the gazes. The night falls slowly. I said I wouldn't ever forget, and I remember. The night fell slowly, and at this hour, at this time of year, you unrolled the hose with all the precepts, and following certain rules, you watered the trees and the flowers in the yard, and you taught me all of that. You explained all of that to me. Come here and see, boy. And you'd show me, Dad. You left so much of yourself behind, superimposed on the indifferent bitterness of this world that pretends to carry on. Your movements, the eclipse of your gestures. And all of this now is too little to contain you. Now you are the river and the waterfront and the spring. You're the day and the afternoon inside the day and the sun inside the afternoon. You're the whole world because you are its skin. Dad, you never grew old, and I wanted to see you old, a little old man here in our backyard, watering the trees, watering the flowers. I miss your words so much. Careful, boy. Yes, I'll be careful, Dad, and I'll stay it. I am. The dusk, in waves of light, sprays over the earth that welcomed and preserves you. It's crying, raining, brilliant whiteness over me, and I hear the echo of your voice I'll never again be able to hear. Your voice quieted forever, and, as though you were falling asleep, I close your eyelids over eyes you'll never open again. Your eyes closed forever. And all at once you stop breathing, forever, for never again. Dad, everything that survived you attacks me. Dad, I will never forget.